Most certainly it did not. That is Annie Lennox, lovely little tune. We're going to talk now about racism in sport. It's been a topic that's been on many of the sports pages across the world in recent months, but in actual fact there is a whole conference taking place on the issue here in Cyprus for MARS, Media Against Racism in Sport. And the Media and Diversity Manager, Programme Manager for the MARS programme at the Council of Europe, is Reynald Blion. He's on the line. Reynald, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, maybe first you could just give us a little bit of the background of MARS, when it was formed and what it is setting out to do.
In fact, the idea of MARS is coming from the long and previous work of the Council of Europe in the field of media and diversity and non-discrimination issues. This work has been implemented in the mid-90s through the Committee of Ministers Steering Committee on Media and Information Society. This committee settled several recommendations regarding how to deal with diversity and non-discrimination within the media content production. Following this, in 2008, the Committee of Ministers adopted the White Paper on Intercultural Dialogue, invited the Secretariat to settle various activities with media professionals to see how we can implement those recommendations adopted by in the past, and to see how media professionals, more globally, how the European media industry can take into account diversity and non-discrimination in the way they are producing news. And the idea of MARS is following these main ideas, in fact. That is to make work together, media professionals, to see how they can include in their daily professional practices, how they can include diversity and non-discrimination as an angle of media coverage, as how they can deal with all these diverse dimensions of our European today society, and to include them in the way they report news, in particular in the field of sport, but not only, more globally, in any kind of news coverage.
Yeah, I suppose that any training that you give can be extrapolated even to news reporting and so on. I mean, if you think of the way, for example, women are portrayed,
yes.
Or, you know, it is quite extraordinary, isn't it, that women aren't a minority group. In many cases, they're a majority group. But
yep.
There is definitely some sort of gender bias. I'm sure the same goes for athletes who are in some way physically disabled,
mm-hmm.
and so on. And I know that you've had a Paralympian talking, I think, today or tomorrow at the conference. When you set this up, what is it that you tell the media people who attend?
In fact, I think the most important dimension is to make understand them that even if they try to go, good things, good news report, and to even if they try to take into account any dimension of society, in fact, in their own practices, because they tend to reproduce certain practices and so on and so on, they avoid a lot of large group of population. You mentioned women. I just want to remind some few data about this. We know by the last report of the Global Media Monitoring Project of 2010 that in the news today, in the European news today, 85% of the news are made by men, with men, for men, and generally men over 45 years old, belonging to upper middle class. And we know this category of population is obviously not the majority and does not represent 85% of the population in the European society. And if I give another data and other figures, we know also by another survey made by Play the Game in the mid, it was in 2005-2006, as you mentioned, a female athlete has four more chances to be covered by a female journalist. But female journalists represent only 5% of the sport news sport news that are produced in the European media. And so we are faced a big, as you said, based situation. And what we try to do by making them together is to make them understand that there are various groups of population they can include in the way they produce news, in fact. And this is one of the main big challenge, one of the main big challenges of this encounter. That is not a conference, but it is a clear encounter in which We started by giving them the main points and asking them now to work together during 3 days and to produce media report that will be presented on Saturday morning.
There is, though, it seems to me, in some areas at least, a move by women into... I mean, I'm thinking, for example, the female sports commentators you hear on the UK radio, and particularly... commentating on things, I mean, they used to be given synchronized swimming, now they're commentating about soccer, for example. So there is a move forward, but it seems to be going terribly, terribly slowly. And you always come across some men who say, well, she's a woman, she can't commentate on football.
Yeah. In fact, as you said, it is moving in a sense or another, but as you said, very slowly, terribly slowly. And the issue about women, female journalists or women journalists that are involved in presenting sport news and covering not only, I would say in a sense or another, what could be seen as female sports, even covering football and so on, could be seen also in a sense or another. What I want to say is we must be aware that we might be faced with distortion. By example, if we take any... Not specifically sport news, if we take news show, and if we take the example of France, for example, there is a lot of women anchors of news in the main channels, but this does not mean that there will be more news reports, including women in various issues or talking or dealing with various issues. In fact, we observed, and the GMPP report on this is really clear, we observed that even if we are able to read on newspaper more and more female signatures, it's not because there are more and more women on screen that there will be more and more women within the news report. And this is another big problem and another big issue.
Well, let's move to the racism in sport. That's been very much in the news again, particularly with regard to soccer and extreme examples, which in some countries have been stamped on very fast and very hard. Do you think that the governing body of the various sports takes this seriously enough?
I think more and more. In fact, during the last 10 years, maybe 15 years, I think the main governing bodies such as UEFA, UEFA is a partner of the Mars program. And why UEFA is a partner? Because for UEFA, it is important also not only to manage a big championship or whatever, it's also important to take into account social responsibility, both of sport managers, but also sport players, or more globally sports organization. This is why UEFA did implement for many years now a social responsibility program, funding various NGOs around Europe. In particular, I'm thinking about Fair Play Network that is based in Europe, and the Fair Play Network linking various NGOs in various countries to try to develop a fair spirit in the way people practice sport, in particular football, but not only football. So I think within the main governing bodies linked to sport, in a sense or another, the conscience is the ear of the issue of racism and more globally of discrimination within sport. But as we know, to fight against discrimination, fight against racism, it takes time, in fact. So it's a long process. I think there is, and we see within the council that there is a real will of the main sport organizations around Europe to fight against these issues, to fight against racism and discrimination. But we know at the same time that it is a long, long process. And it's a long process not only for the main sport organization, sport body, but it's also an issue with which the fan club organization, by example, should deal with, because it's also an important individual responsibility to be aware that some attitudes, some behaviors can lead to racist or discriminatory attitudes. And so I think, of course, it's a responsibility of the media and the professional in the way they cover news and in the way they cover sport news, but it's also the responsibility of many different actors, of various sectors, such as, like you mentioned, sport organization, but as I said, also fan club organizations, and players also can can take also some initiatives like we can see in Europe, like with Lilian Thuram, for example, or other players around Europe.
Okay, very quickly then, can I ask you about the work that has been done today and I know will continue tomorrow. Have you had a good turnout of Cyprus media? I'm assuming and hoping that all our major organisations, broadcast organisations, newspapers, sent their sports people. Are they all attending and what are they doing?
What are they doing now? They are working together by pair. In fact, what happened this afternoon, we did several introductory sessions mixing sport person, but also researchers and also sport chief editors, just to have a global overview on what are the main challenges, the main issues regarding sport news coverage here in Cyprus. And after this process, we asked people to divide them into subgroups, into working groups, and to define pair of working, pair of journalists, and now they are asked during the next two days, to cover an issue related to sport with the goal to include diversity and non-discrimination in the way they are going to cover. So now they are working. I don't know what they are going to produce. I don't know yet what are the pairs and what are the issues that are going to be covered, but I think it's going to be a fantastic surprise on Saturday morning without any doubt on this.